Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Out of Character. I am Jupiter, and with me is Cotton.
Hey, good evening, good morning, good night, afternoon, however you find yourself on this podcast.
Wherever you are, whatever time it is. It's going to be in the future, so hello from the past.
The future.
So, in this episode, we're going to do a follow-up. We've already discussed the first document that came out with 1D&D, new rules for the new edition. And since we've had that discussion, how many more documents have come out? Seven more?
Yeah, like seven or eight, depending on how you want. Yeah, about eight more, actually.
Eight more documents with rule changes have come out. And we really probably should have kept up on this. And like when it was two or three more, we should have done another follow-up, but we waited. And we just have a lot to go through now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to do it, though. We're going to get through it. And our guide today will be Cotton. And we're going to explore what's in these documents. And obviously, we're going to give our worthless opinions on what they mean to us.
Right. And as per the usual, if I'm your guide, we are going to get lost. But we're all going to get there. We're not going to die. We're going to make it through eventually, more or less.
We got 1 hour, but okay.
Yeah. So part the first part that I just want to say is I was listening to these things in order or watch. Mm-hmm. I would either read the document and they would have follow-up videos along that document. So a lot of my information is gleaning from what I read and from listening to the people who work for D&D talk about it. So obviously a mostly positive experience. And a lot of this is playtest stuff. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air. Okay. I'll say that. Also, I'm going through it, I guess, chronologically, right? I started at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the end result is I would be taking notes and then I would have all these notes and then they would open up a new thing that, yeah, we scrapped all that shit. No. You know, so this is going to go chronologically, not so much like here's all the changes to Barbarian, here's all the changes to Bard. And you know, I'm leaving a lot of stuff out for time. Again, as you would expect, there's lots of little tiny nut and bolt issues that have been fixed. Like a quick example is ASI, ability score improvement, right? Every four levels you get to add some stats, like +2 to something, or +1 and +1 to some of the stat now, or you pick a feat. They've just made that a feat now. It's the same thing, right? It's just a feat called ability score increase. So that is, in terms of communication, slightly better. It's just at every four levels you get a feat, and one of the feats is now you just knock some stats up a little bit. I get that. That's probably a better way to organize things, but it doesn't fundamentally change the game. There's a lot of stuff like that. One of the issues I ran into repeatedly is multiclassing, which I hate. And to quote the guy, multiclassing is, and he paused, part of the game.
I don't agree with that. I saw that when I was reviewing the documents and your notes. I was like, that's not... Multiclassing isn't part of the game. I mean, it's not an essential part of the game. It is a facet of the game that you can do, but it's not necessary.
It feels a lot like he can't kill it. No, I agree. I'm with you. I feel like he the vibe I got was, this is a thing I can't do without. Like I'm not allowed to kill this thing, right? Yeah. And a lot of the changes rotate around that. Subclasses have been redesigned in terms of when you get the subclass features. I'll go over that in a second. But part of it was things like, no longer are we going to tie this increasing stat or whatever to your proficiency bonus. Now it's tied to your class level. And mostly that's the same as before, the way they scale it out. The difference is now if you like dip into fighter or some shit, or you dip into cleric, you can't keep getting an increase on your little dip because your proficiency bonus keeps raising. It's tied to the cleric level, right? So it's like, oh, my little, you know, one or two cleric spells keep getting more powerful because they're based on my proficiency bonus, which is bullshit. They're like, no, these things are going to scale with your cleric level. A nut and bolt fix. So lots of little shit like that. One of the changes is they wanted to change the way subclasses work. I always thought it was a little bit weird that classes get subclasses at different levels. So some it's one, some it's two, some it's three. They've changed that. And I fully agree. They changed it to where you everyone gets their first subclass at level 3. They felt like it was maybe a bad idea, especially for, say, clerics. I think they chose theirs at first level. You are locked in. You're a new D&D player. Here's your level 1 character. Choose this thing forever now. Not a great thing to do. It's too much on, you know, out the gate. So everything's at 3. They tried to standardize it at, like, certain levels, like at 3, at 6, at 10. But it just didn't work. Like, things didn't compatible. It was not backward compatible enough, caused any problems. So all the other subclass levels will be whatever they were in 2014, right? That was the original PHB. But everything's getting knocked back to third level. So that's a small dip in power there. Nobody cares. To me, I appreciate it. Because it means new players especially will all be getting the cool thing at level 3. It's not going to be, well, he's got his subclass and I'm over here just being like fighter. You know? Mm-hmm. We all get those first two levels out of the way and then we choose like this next, the next first step, right? That's a cool thing. Okay. All 20th level abilities are knocked down to 18th level. Who
I
cares?
I don't understand that. Like, I mean, why? Because then if you do play 19 or to 19th or 20th level, are they making new spells at those levels? Or is that it? You top out at 18.
They have feats. You get epic boons. So it's like these crazy, you know, busted ass feats that have a 20th level requirement. Feats now have requirements. A little bit like Pathfinder 2. So like there's all these feats and almost all of them have a 4th level requirement. So the whole human feat thing is apparently on board for a change. Don't know where that's going or maybe it's just more limited. I don't know. But there's tons of feats in there and they'll have like their level requirement. Okay. And those
are
20th level.
Though, is it?
Well, it nerfs the human thing, but
without feats having requirements. I mean, a lot of feats have requirements. That's not a new thing.
This is like all of them outside like fighting weird like class-based feats that technically you could take, but not it's all the feats now. Like all the old feats you remember are now 4th level minimum, and they put that in there to allow 20th level minimum. Or you have to be part of like the warrior group or whatever the shit. Because they put the different classes in different groups, which is the very first thing we'll talk about, actually.
Okay.
Oh, and one other quick little note. Critical rules that we bitched and moaned about were like 20 is always a success, 1's always a failure. They nixed it. Now it's exactly the way it used to be. And and the old like plus, or the, I guess old for now, in that first thing we went over, the change was like a crit now just adds 1 dice of damage, which was so sad. Mm-hmm. They tested it and like, yeah, this sucks. It's kind of what I took from their description. And now it's just as it used to be. Only now if you get a critical fail, you get like an inspiration, which I think is fine. You know, it's a feel bad. Here's your thingamabob. Mm-hmm. I actually really like that. That's a cool change. But so document 1 talked about the expert classes. Okay. That's what we're going to go into. So this is when they bring up this new idea of classes being within subgroups. So you're going to have your experts. That's your bards. That's your rogues. That's your rangers. These are your skill machines. All of them will get expertise, which means they have higher proficiency bonuses on certain skills. So these characters are going to be very good at the skill game. They're going to be very good at the thing related to their class. Whatever it is, they're going to be good at it. And that's a new group that may have like feats related to it. Like there's like the expert group and the warrior group and the divine group. And that was going to be kind of like a thing, and feats and other things might be tied to those groups. They were trying, I kind of think they're trying to make things more group-based in the same way they were going to have, say, spells. Like there was going to be an arcane spell list, a divine spell list, and like primal spell list. So this is a grouping thing. I don't know how much it'll actually matter. It doesn't seem to come back up all that much. And the whole arcane spell list thing, that got nixed. Like, it made it almost all the way through. A lot of people didn't like it. They were like, this is going to lead to way too much overlap. And it did. So I went through this whole document, multiple documents with arcane, primal, divine. And they had all kind of little workarounds. And they just finally nixed it at the very end, mostly because of Wizard. Because anyone who was interacting with the arcane spell list just had too much juice. They were kind of like encroaching in that wizard zone. So that got nixed. Okay, great. Expert classes. I'll start with the bard. The bard had a lot of changes out the gate. Let's see. They were trying to make them a little bit more focused on healing. They changed the way their spell casting is. They're trying to get away on certain classes from the whole, here is the list of spells you know, here is the list of spells you can cast that you've prepared for that day. Now it's a lot more narrowed down. The spells you know equal your spell slots. It's still a little confusing, but not as confusing. It was one of those weird rules that was often forgotten, generally for like clerics and bards or whatever. It was like, you know, I don't think it was clerics, but it was like, I know bards was one of them where it was like, you know, a certain number of spells equals to your level plus your attribute bonus. And it was always confusing. Now for a lot of classes, it's just like, you know, a spell is equal to your spell slots. Still a little confusing because you can know more spells of lower levels or higher levels and you can still use any spell slot to cast it, but it's a little minor simplification. I can dig it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bardic Inspiration is now an hour long. They tried to make it reactive, but apparently that didn't work. And I kind of thought it was going to work, but as they went through the testing, it didn't work. It was going to be a thing where it was like, the roll failed, I now fire the Bardic Inspiration, but it caused people to not use it. Now it just lasts an hour, so you don't feel like you have to rush with it, which I do think is a good way to solve that. Like before,
an hour is
yeah. A
long ass time in game.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a lot better. So before you would cast Bardic Inspiration, and it'd be like, oh, well, it's been like 10 minutes, which is kind of just a fight or two, and then some intermediate space. And it's like, oh, well, I guess I lost that feature. Sad. Now it's an hour. You know you're going to use it, probably. Like, if you go a full hour, you've gone through some shit, and you feel a lot better about that one. You're not going to have that just, you know, that feeling of, well, I cast it, and then like, oh, well, we had to wait, 15 minutes for, you know, the waterfall to recede, the tide to leave out, and so, well, shit, I guess I lose. That's better. Let's see. Oh, they also made it to where a natural one like refunded the Bardic Inspiration like dice, like you didn't actually like lose the thing.
Hmm.
So that was some things. So cool. It's got some bar changes. Rangers, mm-hmm. They become a lot more magic-y.
Everybody always bags on Rangers, saying they're just like the most worthless class in the whole system. And I've always liked Ranger, so I'm happy to see that they kept it and that they're adding to it.
Yeah, they seem to be trying to tune them up. They're bringing in mm-hmm. some stuff from Tasha's. That was a constant refrain. A lot of that stuff in Tasha's, people like, and it's coming over. Mm-hmm. And they know that, like, the default Ranger, and they make no bones. They have, like, default subclasses. Like, Life Cleric is the default cleric. Like, that's what they think of as, like, this is your base level thing that does the most traditional version of the deal, right? And there's, mm-hmm. like, the Hunter Ranger. And they are here to put damage on wounded enemies. I like it. Rogues, kind of a cousin, also in the expert tree. They like to do high amounts of damage to people who can't defend against them properly, right? Either they have a drop on them, or they're coming from a flanking position. They're being attacked by somebody else. You know, rogues like to get in there and stack damage on people who can't really focus their defense against the lethal enemy. Rangers are here to stack that damage on people who are already hurt. You know, which I think is cool as shit, right? From a hunter ranger perspective, you know, you have this injured prey. They've lost some steam a little bit, and you get to like really put them down. That's a cool vibe. They did give them a minor nerf. You can now only do that bonus damage, whether it be the sneak attack from the rogue or the bonus wounded damage from the hunter, as part of the attack action. So, like, one of my favorite little wombo combos is if a battlemaster fighter, which can give one of their attacks to a different class or a different character. And so you could have you could say, oh, I use my attack to tell the rogue to attack. And now that rogue gets two sneak attacks in one total round. Sick. They nerfed it. Slick move, but it's out. But speaking of the attack action, they've actually started, like, if you read monsters in 5th edition, you'll see, like, their abilities might say multi-attack, and then it breaks down what a multi-attack is. Like, and there is the attack action. Like, I will now take the attack action, and now that splits off. I'm a fighter. I get 5 attacks in my attack action, right? They are using it a lot more with things like magic action. They're trying to have everything have an official action name. Like, you had dash, you had disengage, you have attack action. And then you had weird shit like cast a spell or use a magic item. Now it's just like a magic action. And then that's broken down into things like cast a spell or use that magic item. There's like the study action. There's the search action. And under search, it might be stuff like insight to determine what someone's thinking or using your perception to look through a room and find something, that, you know, a hidden key. I don't know why that distinction matters. I feel like they're trying to be a little bit more, I think, logical in how they break these things down. So for most players, that won't matter. But it's I like where they're trying to go, where things are going to be sorted in a specific way so that weird rule interactions won't be weird anymore. I think that's what they're trying to get to, trying to formalize some of their language a bit more, to be a little bit more exact, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Rangers are going to have expertise. They're going to be skilled, have more magic-y stuff. And they're kind of just tuning them up a little bit. That's kind of it. Rogues, I mean, I don't have much to say on them. They didn't get massive changes. They had a few quality of life improvements. Nothing really, like, blew my mind. So that was where I was on those classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they went with them first. They had a lot more changes to bards, but most of those got reverted down the line. You know, they had like a weird thing where they could cast from all different types of spell lists, and then it got kind of notched back down by the end. So I will.
Hmm.
So any questions, comments, opinions, suggestions on that?
No, but you did bring up spells, and I saw something in your notes about they made a change there, because there's always been confusion in the game, at least on my end, where it like some GMs say, no, these are the spells you know, and you get to prepare a certain amount each day. And, you know, like, this is just what you know. And it's like, but can't I know a spell, like, and not have to always take it? Like, why aren't all the spells available to me and I can just prepare the ones I want to use that day? And they're like, no, this is what you know. This is all you can do. And I was like, I don't get that. So did they do anything to clear up spells and that whole, like, you know, if it's in your wizard book and you're only allowed to know these and that's it, or can you choose to prepare for the day from the entire selection for the level?
On some classes, they've done more of that. It's still a little weird and imperfect. Wizards, for example, are still going to be a class that either knows things or don't, and then prepare them or they don't. They have some new features around that, namely a spell that's like a memorized spell or something. Essentially, you're like trading your spell slot to go get the spell you need. You know, like, it's kind of, I'm essentially burning this spell slot to go get the thing I didn't prepare that I really wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least that was one iteration of it. I am trying to find the version of Bard, because the last several documents they released were like the player's handbook. It was like not in full, obviously, but like a more multiple classes, not just we're focusing on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So, like, yeah, bards used to know, like, their bard level plus, like, charisma, whatever the hell, you know, that would equal a number, and that was the number of spells they know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, where did I put this? You have a certain, you have prepared spells per level in the old chart. You know, every class is a chart, like a progression chart. And the number of spells, like prepared spells you have, is how many slots you have. So at third level, you have like 4 level 1 spells that you know and are prepared, and you have 2 second levels. And you can kind of mix those up as you level and level down, but that's also how many slots you have. It's like a 1-to-1 ratio. It, to me, it's still a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It may be slightly better. It's like the same number, but it feels like a distinction without a difference. Yeah, I'm not sure it was super worth the change. It's like kind of fine. Yeah, so that's the thing there. Let's see. Clerics got a little interesting. Let's see. That's when the next part was clerics and subspecies. Let's see. Again, this is where they came up with the whole, we really need to move subclasses to third level, not first. And also we want to tie improvements in spells to cleric level and not proficiency bonus, because people were like dipping into cleric and then just having shit go way up.
Mm-hmm.
Channel Divinity is now first level. Cool. Turning undead, out the gate, you get that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Cleric to be turning undead like immediately. And what's cool is you have, it's under Channel Divinity. It's like a class feature. It's kind of like a weird sub spell slot you have in reserve. I think Channel Divinity is a little awkward, but fine. You're using it to turn undead or Divine Spark, which is proficiency bonus times D8 damage or healing to somebody within like 30 feet or something. That's cool. That's a little back pocket. You usually have it.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Damage or healing. Cool beans. Let's see. They also wanted to change subclasses. And this goes across several classes. They wanted to make subclasses not be so aligned with melee or spellcasting. Like a lot of the subclasses were like, you are now going to be the fighter cleric. Here is your fighter cleric stuff. And that felt a little restrictive to them.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of it being like, you have now chosen the subclass, here's your medium armor and martial weapons and all the stuff. Now at second level, clerics have a thing called Holy Order. You're either going to be a protector, which is your martial-y type of deal, your scholar, who'll get like skills, or your thaumaturge, who gets a little bit more of that juice. They get more like hand trips and a little bit more spell slots and power and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think at ninth level, you get a second one of those. So there's three of them, and you will, at ninth level, have two out of the three. That's, you don't get all three, but you get two out of the three. And because of that, it's taken some of the pressure off subclasses to be so aligned with a certain type of playstyle. Okay, now you can pick that subclass that you would generally think of as melee, but it's not just 100% aligned, and now you must be in this rut, which I think is cool. It adds some complexity. You have this thing called Holy Order, but most of that stuff is kind of passive. You know, two out of the three are pretty straightforward. You know, it's kind of like a fire and forget, and it's just always there. Your skills are better. You have on chainmail or plate armor or whatever the hell. Cool beans. That's always, you don't need to remember it, right? It's just in your AC. The thaumaturge takes a little bit more, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Divine intervention, they changed, and they seemed to act like this was interesting. I thought it was fine. It now goes to 11th from 10th level. Okay. And now instead of it being a week on a recharge, if it works, it's now 2d6 days, which is on average 1 week. Okay. I mean, it could, but it could be 2 days. But I mean,
it could be, like... yeah, depending on how you roll. Yeah. So I guess it gives you that what if, that a greater possibility of it being shorter, but it still averages to what they wanted the week. So I mean, it kind of makes both people happy, I think.
I don't understand. Like to me in D&D, anything more than like 3 days may as well be like 3 years. Like there's no second adventure that's going to be stressed. We're like, oh, well, fuck, it was 13 days, not 10. That's not going to matter in like most dungeons will be over with in that week. All you're doing is giving yourself a chance to have it in mm-hmm. like 3 days or 2 days, and then like you're in the Tomb of Annihilation, this grindy ass shit that I just ran, and then now it's like, oh hell, it's been like 2 days and this shit's recharged. So I think it's a slight buff, you know. All right. Oh, also I like this change. I didn't know how much I liked it till I read it. Turn undead. When it succeeds, it does not require the undead to flee. It just dazes them. I really like this because it's so immersion breaking to like turn undead a lich and they go, oh no, they hide in the corner. That's fucking trash. It's so much more theatrical or thematic to be like, oh, they're there and stunned. You know, they're there. They just can't react, and you get to beat the shit out of them a little bit. Although, again, damage does like break the spell. It kind of reminds me of Thanos from the Avengers, where they like stun him with the antenna girl's power, and he's like struggling, but he can't do anything, and they're all kind of like mm-hmm. trying to like grab the glove. That's a lot better than him like running away in fear as they kind of pelt him. Like, that's wouldn't feel as good. I like the idea of this big badass undead being stunned. The undead, you know, the holy power has knocked them back, but not to a blubbering mess of like, I must flee.
No, I think for me it would have been nice. Like, I mean, I understand that the monsters don't really have levels, right? Like, but if an undead, like, what's the lowest like undead creature? A skeleton?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what's the next lowest one? I mean, I think lich would be the top. So yeah, why can't it be like when it's just a little tiny, like it's a skeleton? All right, fine. It blasts it. It runs away. It never comes back. And then as it progresses up the ladder, well, the higher ones, yeah, they're not going to run away. They'll be stunned. That, you know, and that makes sense to me. But I think, like, you know, why can't the cleric, you know, show their holy symbol and you know, have a force, and it just, you know, a skeleton, why doesn't it just automatically kill a skeleton?
Yeah, and they kind of nerfed that. Well, one, you can always make it as a GM. It just says they don't have to. Mm-hmm. And I think this makes it a little bit more free to kind of be like, well, they flee or they don't, depending on what's the theatrical or thematic. Also, sometimes fleeing sucks for tactical reasons. You're like, oh, but like they all flee in a big circle. And you're like, well, fuck, now we have to go play round up the skellies. Like, that's not great. This just kind of, like, sets them there, which is really better for the game, in my opinion. Yes, and as you leveled up Turn Undead, you could, in the current edition, just murder the undead, right? It was like, if they're below a certain challenge rating, they're just dead. Like, you're done. Now it does, like, a damage amount. If you do the average damage, it exactly equaled. I think I did, like, third or fourth level, right? Or, like, when you get the spell, the damage averages to 13, the exact health of a skeleton. Like, they're trying to, they're making it work, you know, kind of, sort of. So,
okay,
that was the big changes to Cleric, is some Channel Divinity stuff. They changed some subclasses around. I did not want to get too deep in the weeds in their subclasses. And per a much later document, healing spells get way buffed. I really like this. Healing is trash in 5th edition. It's just not enough. It's just all the healing spells. They're only good because of the broken mechanic of 1 HP and you're fine. They're great for, they're dying. They're on the brink of death. I heal them for 1d4. Holy shit, they're back at 4 HP, baby. They're good to go. Beyond that, it's really trash. So, an example, they cranked up Cure Wounds. It's increased to 2d8 and, as opposed, I think it's like 2d6 or something, and it goes up by more. Let's see. Healing Word goes up to 2d4, and the healing improves by 2d4 at higher levels. Mass Cure Wounds goes up to 5d8 from 3d8. That's substantial. Mass Healing Word now heals for 2d4 instead of 1. So a lot of this is like 30, 40, 50% healing. Zarkara says they should get rid of healing entirely.
I know. I read that too as it popped up, and my eyes went wide, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, good luck with that. But yeah, they
get hurt a lot. I need healing, you know.
And he says combat healing shouldn't be a thing. I think we just disagree on how D&D is going to be working. That would be a hell of a rework. So they cranked it up trying to make it better. There's a new power word. You know, we got power word kill and power word stun and all that shit. Now we have power word fortify. New spell for bards and clerics. Up to 6 creatures split 120 temporary HP. That is fucking bonkers. And I think you get to choose how it's split. So if you have, like, if you feel like guy up front is going to be taking the hits, just slap an extra $120 on him. I mean, shit, that's a crazy spell.
Yeah.
Let's see. Starry Wisp is a new cantrip for bards and druids. Kind of like Sacred Flame, just a D8. It just slaps some dim light on them and they can't turn invisible. So, yeah, they've kind of felt bards and druids needed a bit of a little ranged juice. That was like a note I had in that section about healing and whatnot. So, there we go. So, so clerics getting a little tuned up there. That's fine. In that same thing, they talked about certain subspecies. All right? So, first is the Ardling.
Wait. I'm sorry. Okay. You said subspecies.
Oh, yeah. Race is out. Race is offensive.
Subspecies, though, is better?
These are just species, and I think species. Ardling has sub or sub ancestry or something. They have sub. Like you can choose one. Like, you know how there's like hill and stone halflings.
Yeah.
And then there's like they have that for like various things now.
I don't like the term subspecies. I don't like that.
Why?
I think that's way worse.
It just feels. You start because seeing species, that weird head measuring thing come out.
No. So to me, in my mind, species takes away humanity and makes it more animalistic in my mind.
Well, the Ardlings are literally animalistic.
Let me finish. The sub part even takes it down further. And I feel that is more derogatory than saying race.
Well, they can't say race because race is. Like, they immediately said this is a conversation. Why? And they had a 3-bullet-point deal where it was like, one, we are not going to be going back to this term, whatever the fuck we do. Two, culture. We've talked to some cultural experts. Like, don't get mad at us if you're pissed about this. It felt like these room full of like not cultural experts thought, this sounds fucking bad, but we're not the cultural experts. We hired for way too much money. And the cultural experts came up with, like, species, and that was their way of saying, look, we paid some people some money, please don't be mad at us. We're sure as shit not going back to race. We can't say lineage, because these fuckers at Pathfinder got to it first. And now here we are. We're at Species. I think Species sounds fucking terrible.
I know. I don't like it.
But
I don't like Species.
Yeah. I think Ancestry is also in Pathfinder. It's like they just can't. They're just not in a good spot. Yeah, Zarkara says race is fine. Yeah, but they've been told it's not, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, but who told them it's not, and what was their what was their issue with it? And then who did they hire as cultural experts? Like
the answer
who?
To all three of those questions is Twitter.
Oh God. Okay.
There it is. So let's see, Dragonborn. They get dark vision now because why the fuck shouldn't they? Everybody else has dark vision. Why shouldn't dragons get dark vision? That drives me insane. Everyone gets dark vision now. I guess it makes sense for dragons to get it, but I'm still pissy. They get a small, because it's just too much. Dark vision's so fucking OP, and everyone has it, and it's just so boring.
Oh my God. Coming from, I had a game, and I think I had five players. And the majority all had dark vision.
Yes, that's annoying.
Everybody. What? But, I mean, it's just like, there's so many ways to get it. It's like, you're going to end up with it.
If everyone's special, no one is.
Exactly.
Well, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad in the game of D&D where we're trying to be special.
No, we're not all trying to be special.
All right.
D&D. We're not all trying to feel special.
Anyway, I'm talking about the Dragonborn. With nothing special about being a bipedal dragon that breathes fire on people. That's just normal shit that normies do for normal reasons. They get dark vision, small damage nerf to their breath, which, okay. God knows that needed a nerf. Sarcasm. And their breath is like weirdly less complicated. Now it's all dex saves. Some had con saves. Okay. They were going to get flying at 5th level, which I thought was crazy bonkers. I was like, holy shit, flying at 5th level. And then later on, I was like, yeah, now we're going back to 14th. We're not going to do that. But they get wings. They get wings there of like the elemental type, I think, if they want. All right, they get wings. We go to Goliaths. Now, Goliaths were in the Temple of Elemental Evil. They were added there as a playable race for D&D 5e. And then they got kind of like deprecated. They were like kind of like phased out. That's no longer for sale, I don't think, on D&D Beyond. So it's a thing that's kind of like not quite in the current game, right? That and Volos got nixed. Well, now they're coming back. And holy shit, are they cool. So now you choose a sub-ancestry or whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. And Goliaths are descendant of giants. Well, you choose like storm giant, fire giant, ice giant. And before you had like one that like the base part of Goliaths, like the base part that you would get is damage reduction. Like they're these big tough sons of bitches. And so you get a hit, you get to use like a reaction and take a D12 like off of the damage you took. Cool. That's still a thing. However, the other sub categories have things like reactive damage. You get hit and it like shocks them with lightning. Or you're icy, and so you slow them down. Or you can teleport. The Goliath can teleport. Or you can, like, knock people down or just do flat-out bonus damage. So that's just cool as hell. You choose which type of giant you're descended from, and that gives you some cool utility. And I think that's great. The one that's teleporting is just fucking bonkers. But there you go. Also, they get large form. For 10 minutes, they transform into a larger sized creature. They get advantage on strength checks and 10 more speed. They get 10 more feet, which I think is hilarious. I cannot wait for someone to be like, oh, this guy's running away at the standard 30 feet per round or dashing for 60. Well, <it's, laughs> the long arm of the law is coming after your ass. as fucking Stretch comes barreling after you. Great. Hilarious. Cool. Ardlings. I know. They're trying to fix the lore. It was like, hey, there's the Feywild, and like, I guess some weird Fey stuff happened, and now there's some people there. Don't ask all those questions, man. It's very similar to the Goliath, and like, there's lots of little subcategories, right? And you get to be like a climber, or a flyer, or a racer, or a swimmer. That's like a specific category, right? And you choose whatever type of animal you want to kind of like share some physical traits with. And you now have that ability. I think that's going to be a really cool way to initiate encounters or to kind of bend the world around that character a bit. If you have someone who's a swimmer and you have a, you may want to have a very aquatic world, and they're going to be like doing great in that environment. They're going to be able to scout very well and to kind of get some intelligence before they have to be caught or busted or give up any advantages they may have. So the Arling kind of got a little better, in my opinion. You know, we'll see.
Okay.
The last thing I want to say is around there, one of my favorite spells got nerfed in this one. They have like a glossary. So these Unearthed Arcana kind of have like whatever they're talking about, their class, and then maybe some race issues or like a species. And then they'll have like some spells or feats in their glossary that will update over time. And there's a lot of little changes, but one that caught my eye was Banish got nerfed, or Banishment. So that spell is bonkers. It's a save or suck spell. You either make the saving throw or you don't. And for 1 minute, if you fail it, you are just like off and get fucked where you're off in a different plane of existence.
Mm.
Very commonly, this spell was used to knock the big bad out of the fight. You know, if they weren't too high level with like legendary resistance and shit. But knock the big guy out and then kill all the little minions and then pop that guy back into reality and beat the shit out of him. Right? Great, frankly, overpowered spell. Now it's got the standard, you make a saving throw at the end of all your turns. This spell is now trash. This is a trash spell now. And it even, like, and before the spell was great against, like, Celestials, Aberrations, Fae, anything that's kind of, like, otherworldly, because it would send them back to wherever they're from. And, like, I don't think they got to come back or some shit. Now it's like, if they fail all 10 of their saving throws, it works that way. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
So, yeah, that spell took a bit of a hit. But what frustrated me was, they're not going all away from save or suck spells. There's still Hypnotic Pattern. There's still a lot of those kind of spells. That one was notorious because it really would kind of break an encounter with how powerful it was. But yeah, they just picked that one. A different spell that got nerfed was Counterspell. And I do love me some Counterspelling.
Uh-huh.
Blue Mages represent. But so Counterspell before, or in the current edition, it targets a spell. It does not target the caster. It targets the spell. The spell is, it's like, you know, to achieve the goal of countering the spell, it's like you roll 10 plus this versus the spell level plus that. It has nothing to do with the caster. And they felt that was kind of, you know, bad. The more powerful casters should be more difficult to counter their spells and vice versa. This makes sense because shitty minions that have counter spell are very effective against players. Because the players can be all powerful, but you can knock that spell right out of the air. And that sucks. Now it's like the character makes a constitution saving throw, which now means legendary resistance supplies. Before it didn't. The spell was being targeted, not the big nasty lich. So now it's harder to counterspell and therefore shut down more powerful characters. It applies to bosses. It applies to players. So epic is epic is epic. Cool. I can dig it.
Yeah.
Also, if you get countered, if you do fail this constitution saving throw, then you get the spell slot back. So you do lose your action, which is, you know, brutal enough. At least now you don't lose your 1/9th level spell slot, you know?
you can try another 9th level again.
Yeah, you got interrupted. You didn't consume. Now, they do say if you use a component, like if it's some expensive component or something, that would be consumed in the attempt. That's probably fine. But yeah, you get the spell slot back. Because it was a brutal, I honestly think no one used it because it was so goddamn brutal. It was so nasty. It's kind of like landmines. Like they're not fun. That's why they're not in the game of Risk. Cause it's just like, oh, well, my troop lost his leg. It was a thing that was just anti-fun even more than maybe it could be designed to be, right? I mean, it's supposed to suck to be Counterspell, but man, that one was brutal. So that got changed. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. Part 4. Druids and Paladins. Ah, well, first of all, I'll go to Paladins. They're easy. Punching Smite is now a thing. Thank God. Why was it not? It should have always been a thing. It's hilarious. The Paladin reaches back to Georgia, balls up a fist, knocks you the fuck out. That's awesome. And like, no, I can't do it. It was never overpowered. It was always fine. That should be a fine thing to do. Then they put in like range Smite. We're like, oh, well, the Paladin has Smite, so why not let him smite with a bow? And it's like, no, we don't like it. Like players came back in the surveys and it was like, yeah, we just don't like this for flavor. Like, this is not what the Paladin is supposed to be doing. And I think that that's true. Paladins are supposed to be big, dumb, you know, like, but powered by divine power. Like, that's their deal. They're not the fighter. They're not all about their skill in their in like intelligence, and they are here to like bring the word. You know, here is the word of God and how to swing it. Right? Cool. That's what. If Paladin's shooting a bow, it should be a backup. I do not want Paladins. Plus, it feels rangery, right? I shoot my bow and do a shit ton of damage with the arrow way over there. People didn't like it. I don't like it.
But it's an arrow flowing, flying with the righteousness of God.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care if it's a cross bow. Okay. That's wrong.
Ah! I see what you did there. Happy Easter. Okay.
They just didn't like it. So I can dig it. And not Paladins don't need much help. There was some other smite changes, but they weren't locked in. I won't go over them that much. Or frankly at all. So yeah, so Paladins are in a good spot. People really loved it. They made a few quality of life changes, and people like Paladins are in a good spot, so they didn't get a lot of changes. Druids. The Druid was like one of the, I think it was the big bugaboo of the whole fucking thing. Druids. They have tried druids so hard to fix Wild Shape. And
fix it how?
It because So when you go into the form, you now have all these hit points. You have a bucket of hit points. And if you get knocked to zero, you actually get popped out right as what you had as a druid. So it's kind of OP. You can just walk in as a gorilla, get the shit kicked out of you, and then you'd emerge fully healthy. Never liked that. Always felt stupid. It's not thematic. In a movie, if I watch the druid turn into a cat and they get the shit knocked out of them, it breaks their form and they're like injured a bit. Now it's like, no, I'm fine. That wasn't me. That was just cat me. Like, that's kind of.
Wait a minute. Dumb. But you don't like that, but you were okay with the cheesy bard thing of, I would just tell the rogue to kill and then he gets two sync attacks. I mean.
Well, that was.
That's not thematically great.
Why? I think that's kind of cool. Like the fighter is like controlling the battlefield and like helping, helping distract or, an enemy or set them up to get stabbed again. That's teamwork. I kind of feel weird that got nerfed. It didn't come up a lot, and you're giving up an attack. It was a cool, to me, combo. I would like to see a whole lot more combos, but maybe they don't. Fair enough. But again, if you disagree, that's fine. I'm not taking a hard stance.
I don't think that's too awful.
Okay, fair enough. But it felt weird to have the druid get absolutely dogpiled, and then they get popped out like nary a scratch. Like, that now, doesn't feel good, right?
So. All right, I could compromise and say, okay, whatever damage they took in that form, when they get popped back out, well, the druid then takes maybe, has to bring over half that damage.
Yeah, I would be fine with something along those lines.
If in that form you took 20, when you pop out, well, you're going to have 10.
Here's the real problem with Wild Shape. Hey, I want a Wild Shape. Here's 100 stat blocks. Which animal do you want to be?
Yeah. That is a pain. That part is a pain in the ass, and I wish they did streamline that bit.
So here's the guy was salted. He goes, when we first did the druid 10 years ago, we were like, how about, stat blocks? And people were mad. It was like, well, now you know what? Now it's like, maybe we want stat blocks. You could tell he was a little salty. Just like three times he was salty in all the hours of video I watched. And that was one of them where he was like, we tried to solve this. We gave you what you wanted, and now you're mad. So they did the generic stat block. They were like, here is your land animal. And later on, you get a sea animal and an air animal. And they had generic stat blocks, and you could slap whatever flavor you wanted on the goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. That was too restrictive. It was too boring. People didn't like that. And there was people. So there's a split. There's the people who want the 100 stat blocks. And they're like, I want to choose whichever particular, fucking blue heron or green heron I want to be. And there's the other people who are like, I'm overwhelmed. I want a simple go-to thing, and I'll paint a bird around the shape of the stat block. And these two camps are just diametrically opposed. Like, there's great way to compromise.
Isn't that always the thing? Some people really want to have all the options because they want to make sure they're not missing out. Other people, when you give them too much choice, they become paralyzed. They don't know what to do. I mean, those camps will never get together.
There was a slight majority of people who liked the complexity over the simple stat block. Mm-hmm. But again, these are people who fucking are playing D&D 1 playtests and submitting the evaluation.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. So there's a lot of, I could tell they were torn. In my opinion, to me, what people want is the versatility. I wish they would just do something like, here's your generic stat block. now pick one of these things: climbing speed, swimming speed, extra dash ability. You want some, what you want is the variety. I want to be the rat. I want to be a spider. I want to be a thing that, you know, with a little bit more than generic stat block and 100 stat blocks. Like, give me a little bit of option, because there's probably five or six things you kind of sort of really want. You want something, like they even suggest three starting forms. I think they limit the number of forms you can know now, is kind of what they did. That's their compromise. You're back to the 100 stat blocks, but you only get to know like three of them. And they even suggest like a starting three of like horse, spider, wolf. And I'm like, that's what people are wanting, right? Horse is fast and kind of tough. The spider is sneaky, and the wolf can fight. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get somebody to sneak. We're trying to get something to fight and something to flee, right? That's kind of like there's a certain amount of utility you want, and you don't need 14 sneakies. You don't need 14 fighty things. You don't need a wolf and a cat, or you know, or a wolf and a tiger and a bear. Whichever one you pick, you're always going to pick, right? You don't need a spider and a mouse and a chipmunk. Whichever one you pick, you're always going to pick that one. So, like, they just kind of limit you down.
No, that's not true. If I just need to see something, well, I'll take the spider. But if I need to grab something, I might take the squirrel.
Well, then why would you ever take the spider? Just take the squirrel. The squirrels can sneak, and the squirrel can grab the thing.
But a spider is smaller than a squirrel.
Okay. Well, you're off in the world sneakier. Of, like, that's, all right. They're not much in the rules sneakier, but they are slightly. But that's my point. It's, yeah, you're going to lose something, but it's the complexity worth 100 fucking stat blocks. And they're like, no. So now it's like, choose your favorite thing. Like which one limits you, but also makes you make the choice now. I have seen druids at the table. They go, okay, I'm going to wild shape. And you're like, here's your stat blocks. Or, well, I want to be the thingamabob. And you're like, well, fuck, I don't know what that is. Let me go find a stat block. Instead, this makes them make the choice now. Make it now at character creation. What three goddamn things are you going to be? And let me, the GM, know what those three things are. And now we're on the same page. Don't hit me with fucking Quipper 2 hours into the session, right? And I don't know what a Quipper is. Now we're all on the same page and we're playing the same game. We don't have to open the book, thank God. So it is restrictive a little bit, but I think it's a good change. And man, it took them forever to get there. You know, now it's just like, you know, at levels 2, 4, and 8, you know, what is it? I think it's, yeah, here it is. 2 plus half your druid level rounded up. That's how many things you know. And you get this at level 2. So that's 3. You can say level 2, you get 3 things. And every level, you get, wait, one more. You get a temporary HP boost of your druid level. So not much. But that's it. And that's your HP. Your HP is your HP. If you get hit, you take that damage. You can be fucking smoked in that mode. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Don't just go in there willy-nilly and get the shit kicked out of you. Equipment is weird. I do not feel like they got this right. It's clearly a compromise. You can choose if your equipment falls off. You can choose if your equipment melds into your body. Okay? Great. You can also choose if your equipment remains on you and is effective, up to your GM if this applies. So, like, does a chainmail shirt fit on a bear? Probably not, right? Now that's absurd. Does a chainmail fit on a wolf? Maybe if you're a big dude, it's a small wolf. I can see it, right? Or does a chainmail fit on a monkey? Probably. Like that's fucking weird. So now you have to have a conversation with your GM on if your equipment is usable based on the attributes. And it says when it comes to grabbing things, they have the limbs of the creature that they are. So now I have to get into a fucking debate on how, if a cat with non-opposable thumbs can pick up the keys. Maybe they can pick up the keys. It's just not, that feels weird. It feels not great. And arguably the picking up thing was not great before, but the equipment thing is weird, where it's like, talk to your GM and see if you can bully them into saying your fucking wolf has a chainmail shirt on now, you know, and has an AC of 18 or whatever the fuck. Like, that's, all right.
I don't know. I watched The Golden Compass, that bear had armor.
And that was badass. And if we can recreate that, we're all doing okay. But that bear's armor was made before. The bear did not come that way as a person. That was bear armor for a bear. So I'm not against bear armor. I am all, like, if there's a way to ride an armored bear to D&D, I will break these rules in half to achieve that. Okay, I think we agree. Armored bear is cool. So, oh, shit. they're also getting kind of a it's clear that they view the druid as kind of analogous to the cleric. So mm-hmm. they have the holy order or whatever. Now they get, these druids get primal order. You either get like an extra cantrip and nature check, so you get martial weapon proficiency and medium armor proficiency. And they want that to be pulled out of the subclass. They don't want it to be the melee subclass, the spellcaster subclass. They want it to be a subclass with cool abilities, and then you have your primal order, which will be how you determine where you are in the fight. Cool beans. They also get wild companion. It's fine familiar. That's what it is. It's fine familiar. It's fey. It lasts for the day, and then it goes away. That's the only difference. Otherwise, it's fine familiar. And you use wild shape to summon it. It's like a thing to cash it in. So, all right, cool. So druids get a companion now.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets a familiar, everybody.
Yay!
Yeah.
We all have friends.
They're quite familiar, I guess you might say.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now those were kind of their own section. That was parts two and parts three.
Okay, but we're almost out of time. So,
uh-oh.
I think you have enough to talk about that we need to do another follow-up.
Fair enough. All right. Well,
we have to do a part two.
Part two of the D&D. Holy shit. Burp. You want to cut it there? You want to have time for anything else? Do you have questions? What do you want to do?
Well, what do you think about the comments that Zakara made as he was listening?
Zakara was like, came out of left field at the gate swinging. Zakara was saying healing should be out of D&D. There should be no in-combat healing, and that should be all out of combat. And like, fuck. All right. That's a pretty big redesign.
Well, I was talking about his first comments of a lot of the changes seem targeted at streaming the game and trying to balance everything, or in trying to balance. Meanwhile, he thinks all the meta class stuff is awful.
What do you mean meta? Like, what's a meta class?
Everything like multi-class. Everything the multi-class meta is god awful.
I mean, I just pretty much ban multi-classing at my table. Like, I house rules can get weird and messy. That is one house rule.
Part of the game.
All right.
Got me. Okay.
We ain't got, in over there were our thou, but we ain't got no radio. If you've seen the movie, it's like, we were pardoned. It went out over the radio. We ain't got no radio. So it's not a part of my game. Make it back and be whatever the fuck I want. You know, you ban paladins. That's the goddamn classes. I think that as a house rule, the two-word house rule of ban multiclassing fixes a lot more problems than it causes.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
He says that make the game deeper. It doesn't need to be streamlined. It needs some more depth. I'm not quite sure. And he had to drop out.
Well, there is. We've left out. So the classes we're talking about now were both early documents. They were early attempts to fix and streamline and work on things. And outside of the druid, these were classes that were mostly healthy. Rogues didn't get a lot of changes. Like, they're like, okay, rogues are working good. I think they improved the thief class a little bit, or the thief subclass. And paladin, same thing. Clerics, mostly doing pretty good. A few nuts and bolts changes here or there, make things a little more versatile around the way. The big changes were druid with wild shape and like summoning animals. And then there's the fighter and the barbarian. And these are classes that needed some help and are criticized for not being very complex. Everyone gravitates to Battlemaster Fighter because it was like the one fighter that was thinky, or Eldritch Knight. But Eldritch Knight felt weird. Like, I want to be a fighter who's not a caster. Right? I want to be the guy in the fucking armor with the fucking sword and the shield. Cool beans, me. Well, that sucks. Except for Battlemaster, which was like a drop of water on the burnt tongue. And Barbarian was just trash all around, frankly.
Wow.
I'm not trashing Barbarians.
No, I know.
They're beautiful, great class. It's iconic. It's wonderful. They just really built a lot of weakness in there. And that class has been limping along on how cool it is to be a Barbarian. And they cranked up the complexity and the coolness, and it sounds good to me, you know. So, but we can get into that next time.
Yeah, we can.
Cliffhanger.
Zakara also, yeah, you had said Zakara was talking about they should just get rid of healing completely, which, yeah, that's crazy. But then he followed it up with combat healing shouldn't be a thing. I can't disagree with that more.
Yeah, I can't either, because out of combat, so like in the game Cyberpunk Red, there is a class that's the healy-ish character, and much like Shadowrun, there is no in combat healing, or at least not that's very effective, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that means the class is an NPC, because out of combat healing isn't fun. They have like in Cyberpunk Red, if you play this guy, you get like cryo tanks, and as you level up, you get more cryo tanks. And it's like, yeah, you passively heal people out of combat. And it's like, then why am I going on the run? I'm just the doctor. I'm just the guy with the cryo tanks. I don't need to be there today. Well, out of combat healing is boring. Like, it's kind of fine to have it slapped on to the class or an ancillary thing, but you want them to be doing cool shit. So if your cleric is there and they're not healing, then what are they doing without being the warlock, sorcerer, and wizard? Like those, there's already the offensive casters. There's already single target damage dealers. That's your warlocks, that's your rogues, that's your rangers.
Says. He says, give the cleric something else to do. They shouldn't be a heal bot. And I'm like, that's the cleric.
You have to be. You can go be a cleric of light right now and cast fireballs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go, you know, live the dream, you know, praise the sun, kaboom. But the life cleric is kind of like default cleric. I think that's fine. Some people want to be I love that. I love being the heal bot. I wish it was more effective. Mm-hmm. I had to, you know, tell our healing cleric early on in her career, hey, sometimes the best medicine is, you know, a bullet for the other guy. That's just kind of how it is. And she saw that and figured it out and started knocking people down with Guiding Bolt and whatnot and other things. But, yeah, I don't know. I would be down for more defensive magic, things that, like, prevented damage, as opposed to just made the number go back up.
Yeah.
That would be cool, or redirected damage. But that is a massive rework. I think it's fine to have the Healbot class, especially if you have lots of other options. If you don't want to be Healbot, don't be healed. And they're not needed. You do not have to have healbot. It's not like World of Warcraft where you need the healbots. Like, I was there. You have to have the healbot. You do not need one in D&D. Because healing is so bad, you don't need it. It's kind of their way of, like, working around it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to make it good without it being required, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I will say one more thing on the druids since we're here.
Okay.
They did change the majorly problematic, like, summon animals or conjure animals. Because the way that spell worked was, you could, like, conjure a bear. Or you could conjure, like, two things that were half the CR. Or, like, four things that were half that CR, or, like, one CR step down. And the end result was, a medium power druid could bring in, like, 48 squirrels. This is too much.
It's too many squirrels?
It's too many squirrels. You run into the million kobold problem of, like, yeah. There's way too much action economy, and you send the army of squirrels, and they can attack, you know, a few per turn unless they have fireball, and they just get nibbled down in a squirrel ambush. And that's too much. Now that's being moved away to be a lot more like, there's some Tasha summon spells as well, and they're splitting. So either you summon a big-ass creature to fight for you, a real concrete bear, or whatever the fuck. Like a big thing comes in and you're summoning them. The conjure animals is now a more magical style, fey, you know, ghostly like animal. Okay. And this animal is going to operate a lot like the guardians, like spirit guardians for a cleric, where it's not, I have 48 squirrels and here's all their tokens. It's like, in this big area that you have drawn on the map, there are 48 of whatever the hell you want. And they're going to do 2d8 damage to anything that's bad in that circle. Just imagine the squirrels running around attacking things for 2d8 damage for anyone in here. Make a saving throw. Mm-hmm. So it's like, here's this area, and it's going to be in this big circle, there will be 2d8 damage done to creatures. And the lore is that it's being done by a bunch of squirrels. And for the cleric, the lore is it's being done by a bunch of angels. And you could say, well, that's kind of a boring. It's like the same spell reworked, which is a big sin from 4th edition. I get it. I don't disagree. At least they're semi-related classes, and at least it fixes the problem of people summoning 48 squirrels. So, yeah, the druids had a lot of janky shit that they kind of get reworked. That's for that.
So, yeah, so we'll end it here, and the next time we get together, we'll finish up. Because you have a lot to go, right?
We have barbarians. So
yeah.
We got fighters. We got bastions. What the fuck is that?
Bastions. I don't know.
I was so excited about that when it came out. I printed it out like 6 months ago.
All right. Well, we will see you all next time. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Colin.
Indeed. Good night.